Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, O God, my Saviour. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not hand me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, breathing out violence. I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord.
Morning all. Let me pray for us as we address this psalm. Heavenly Father, we seek your face. We want to see you. We want to know you better and understand you more clearly and recognize what you would have for us. Please show us yourself in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, do keep that psalm open. I'm going to need to show you its structure by pointing to verses. Do you ever look at people in church, Christian people you know, your parents even, and think to yourself, how can they be so confident in God? How do they keep on believing when hard things happen to them? Or do you ever look at yourself and wonder why you don't really seem to know God as well as you want to? And living as a Christian feels hard and dull. And do you sometimes feel afraid? Fear of other people? Fear of what's going to happen to you? Fear of what lies ahead? Well, David, in writing this song or psalm about God and to God, points us in very helpful directions. Look at the two times David says he is and he will be confident. They're there near the beginning and the end of the psalm, verse 3 and verse 13. He says, though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. And though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. How can he say that? He reckons that even if a whole army was determined to get him and a war started against him, he'd still be confident. I have enough trouble with one or two difficult relationships in my life, let alone whole armies against me. But David says he'll be confident in the face of war and armies. And verse 13, at the end of the psalm, he says, I am confident of this. I will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Where is the land of the living? Well, it's here. It means in the present, in the here and now. So God is saying, I will see how good God is soon. He's going to show me his goodness here and now. Although he does then say in verse 14, wait for the Lord. Be strong, take heart, and wait for the Lord. Which means he is prepared to wait for God to show his goodness to him. Days, weeks, months, years. But he's confident he will see them. So here's David, all confident about his situations and the goodness of God. He's saying, have confidence in God. And I read that and I wonder, why isn't that me more? Why do I lack confidence in God? Why do I fail to trust the goodness of God? And why am I so impatient with God? I'm so unlike David. Well, the answer lies in the heart of the psalm. He's saying, have confidence in God through what's in the middle of the psalm, through seeking him. Verse 4. Let's read verse 4 out together. Psalm 27, verse 4. Ready? One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. There's one thing David is motivated by. One thing that David wants more than anything else. One thing David's going to talk about for the next 8 verses. And that's the key to the confidence he's able to have in God. He seeks the Lord. We all know how to play hide and seek, don't we? Who reckons they're any good at hide and seek? Maxwell reckons he is. That means you know about seeking. Seeking is spending time looking for and trying to find and get close to the person who is hidden. Have you ever played the game and given up seeking? No, you don't give up. You keep on seeking. I doubt it. You see, and you do find. In the end, you know how to find the person who is hidden. Well, God is not hiding from us, but we all may feel he's not in plain sight. We can't see him face to face yet, but we can get to know him if only we will seek him. So what does seeking God look like for the Christian? Well, David's seeking God because he wants to be round God's house. Do you see that, verse 4? Now, Toby always wants to be round his friend Gabriel's house. Why do you think he wants to be round Gabriel's house? Because his friend Gabriel is there. That's where his friend is. He wants to be in his house with his friend. Same with David. He wants to be in God's house to be close to God. To be able to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, to seek him in his temple. Now you might be scratching your head there. How do you gaze upon the beauty of the Lord? Sounds weird. How did he do that? How are we supposed to do that? Well, for David, it meant actually being at the temple where believers would get together to hear from God, to praise and to worship him. There was something beautiful about being with fellow believers, in God's temple. A taste of heaven ahead and an encouragement to live in a way that pleased the Lord. It was seeking God, though, himself that David wanted to do. He wasn't after feelings or emotions or things. He was after God. Look at verse 4. To seek him, it says at the end. David wanted more of God. He wanted to know his character better, to know his actions in history, to know what he wants and what he likes and what he offers and what he gives. And David could see that he didn't know God well enough, and he wanted to know him better. In verse 5, he knows that being close to God will mean safety in his dwelling, and being hidden from danger in the shelter of his tabernacle, and being set high upon a rock, which is actually a good thing, even if you're frightened of heights. To be set high on a rock out of harm's way is a good thing. That's what David wants. And he knows God will give him. Do you see all the different ways David is describing being close to God in his house, his temple, his dwelling, his tabernacle, and on the high rock? So my question to you is, could you answer if someone who didn't know anything about the Lord asked you, tell me about the Lord. What is he like, this Lord of yours? What does he want? What does he offer? What's he done? And what do you think he's going to do? Would you be able to give them a good answer? Well, David had some answers, but he knew he needed more, so he strove to get close to God. He sought him. And that's why there's confidence again in verse 5. When trouble comes, I will be kept safe. Hidden away from it, up out of reach. In verse 6, then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. And I'll sacrifice with shouts of joy, and I'll sing and make music to the Lord. What he's saying is that getting close to God is the one thing he knows he needs to do. It's the only safe place, and in fact, being really close to God is more full of joy and packed with happiness than a trip to the trendiest and coolest music festival or wherever else you long to be. I'd say I take a lot of pleasure in seeing the musicians playing and enjoying the sound that they're making, not least when members of my family are involved. It is a joyful thing to sing and make music to the Lord. And that's what we're doing partly Sunday by Sunday. We said last week that Christians don't have a building or a temple in which God could said to be dwelling anymore, the way they did in the Old Covenant. No, Christians have got something else now. What have we got? We have got Jesus Christ revealed to us in Scripture, in this Bible, and we get close to him through his living word, which we need to read and learn. And how else will we know for sure what God is like and what he wants and what he's done than by the words of this book? But we also have one another, each believer being a temple in whom the Spirit of God dwells. So to have confidence in God, we need to go after the Lord in his word and in his people. Turn it round. You will have no confidence in God if you steer clear from his word and his people. Do you see that? Verse 7 to 12 have a different tone. Suddenly David isn't just praying about God, he's praying to God. He says, hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. And he knows where mercy is to be found. Verse 8, my heart says, seek his face. Your face, O Lord, I'll seek. Don't hide your face from me. Don't turn your servant away in anger. You've been my helper. What does a child do when he or she wants its parents' attention and can't seem to get it? He can try shouting, Dad! But that doesn't work. What's the last straw? What's the final thing a child does when they want their parents' attention? Don't they walk right up to their mum or dad and stand in front of their face, or maybe even grab their chin and say, Mum! Isn't that what you do? David is seeking the Lord's face. He wants his attention. I seek your face, O Lord. That's the kind of relationship David wants with the Lord, to see him face to face. When I call out to my dog, solo, and I want him to listen to me, I know I only stand a small chance of him doing what I say if he's looking at my face. If he's not looking, he may well ignore me. And he often does. We were told by our trainer, it was dog owner training, not dog training, owner training, if you want your dog to walk to heel, you have to get him to look in your face. It's no good him walking along looking forwards. He's got to be walking along looking up at his owner. Because that's how he will know you. And he'll listen to you. And the trick was to hold a treat in your hand and hold it up near your face. So he'd be looking very near your face. And eventually he'd end up looking at your face without the treat. David is seeking God's face. He wants to be known and to know God. And he knows that even though his mum and dad's love for him is the strongest kind of earthly love he can know, when that reaches its limit, God doesn't. There's no limit to God's love. Look at verse 10. Though my mother and father might forsake me, the Lord will receive me. David wants to learn from God. Perhaps that's what it means to seek God. It's to be teachable. To be open to being told off and corrected and trained by God's word. Are you open to hearing God's word tell you you've been going in a wrong direction and to change? Teach me your way, verse 11. Lead me on a straight path. There are enough bumps and twists in the road of life to trip us up and make us fall, and so turning to the Lord for a lead is very wise. Listening to him and being taught his way is what it means to seek him. But the opposite is to cut yourself off from his word and his people. To think that we're Christians now and have no need for a daily walk with God, for a daily closeness to him, to his word and to his people, that you can live independently of him, that is grounds for a weakening faith, a losing of confidence, and a sliding away into the blind hopelessness of the unbeliever. Do you see, David's confidence flows from his seeking God's face. Who thinks they're a confident person? Josh does. Chloe does. I think I am. I think we like confidence when it's placed in the right things. Confidence needs a foundation. If the thing being trusted in is fake or fragile, then our confidence will be misplaced and we're on the road to ruin. But a confidence that comes from seeking God, from going after knowing him, is a sure and certain ground for faith. With David the Christian, who is seeking God as the main thing, the one thing we know we need more than a salary or a perfect marriage or well-adjusted children, the one thing I seek, one thing I ask, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever, all the days of my life. It's not the only thing, but the one thing that we know we need, then confidence in God will follow. And with confidence will come the assurance needed to share that faith with others. Look how David ends the psalm. He's seeking God. He's able to have confidence as a result. And he says at the end, wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart, wait for the Lord. So he's telling others how to have this confidence too. So when you look around and think, other people are more confident than me, or why isn't my life lived a closer walk with God? Well, it may be that we're not seeking him. Seek the Lord. Grasp his chin, so to speak, and look in his face. Have confidence in God through seeking him. Let me pray for us that that'll be what we try to do with God's help this week. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the means of grace, your word, the Bible, fellow Christians, prayer, and looking forward to what lies ahead. Please strengthen us in our faith. Help us to have confidence in you. And we pray that we'd take what you're holding out to us, the means to seek your face in Scripture and with others. We ask it for your name's sake. Amen.